We'll have to do sign language for everybody else, though. Good morning, good morning. Good to be with you all today. Wasn't sure, and still I guess we're not sure. We'll have to wait to see what the end of the day looks like, but what the weather was going to bring. But anyway, thankfully it's not too messy or dirty out there. But it's good to be with you this morning. I have to confess or admit or reveal right off the top that I did some cooking yesterday in our house, and had some kids over, and we were having a meal, and we have these fire alarms in the mini home that go off. They're very sensitive. Maybe this reflects my cooking, I don't know. But they're very, you turn the hot water on, they come off, I'm sure. But anyway, so those things were going off yesterday, and we had our grandson there, and he was trying to sleep, so I ended up unplugging some of them. One of them I put outside because it wouldn't stop yelling. And so anyway, it was getting a little annoying, but we'll appreciate sensitive smoke alarms, or we would appreciate them anyway if there was an incident. But anyway, so I put the thing outside, and then I forgot about it, and my wife went out. I went to bed, and then before she went to bed, she remembered, and she brought it in, and she plugged it in. Well, 1 o'clock this morning, this fire alarm, it's been a long time since I jumped out of bed with a shot of adrenaline. Anybody? That's not a nice way to wake up. Dead sleep, and when I sleep like a rock usually, until after, and then I didn't sleep like a rock anyway, so I'm a little bit, that's why I get the coffee with me this morning, so bear with me as we muddle through the day and my brain tries to clear. Good to be with you nonetheless. I'm not complaining, I'm just thankful to be here today. God is good, amen, and we love being together, we love to worship, love the church. I'm excited about what we're going to share this morning in our morning service. And in regards to the church and a few other things there. So I'm just thankful for the privilege of being able to share God's word on his behalf to you folks. And it's a blessing to me anytime I get to do it. You know, I learn whenever I share God's word. It amazes me how that works, but I learn as much when I teach as I do when I study. And it's just the way the Spirit works. Often I'll tell you things that I'm hearing for the first time. It's true, and it's, I believe that's the way the Lord works, and I'm not talking about anything weird or bizarre or anything, just the fact that as I'm allowing the Spirit to lead and as the thoughts are flowing, oftentimes the Lord will reveal things that are a blessing and an encouragement to me, and you hear it live and in person. So anyway, God is good, and I love being together, love worship, and love the church. You folks are a big help to myself, my family, to one another, to the community around you, to those in your families, those in our nation, missionaries around the globe. And so I count it a blessing to be able to worship with you. And we give God all the credit and all the glory. And so I just love being together. I love church day. And I'm thankful for each one that takes the time to come. So let me pray. And then this morning we'll start off a little slower. And maybe I'll pick your brains a little bit before we get into Revelation chapter 17. Which introduces us to another interesting snapshot of the tribulation period, an aspect of the tribulation period that the world will experience and go through. So let me pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we do give you thanks today, God, for the time that we can gather together in your presence. And Lord, we exalt Christ, your Son, our Savior, high before us today. We exalt him not only in word, but also in our hearts, and help us to do that, that we would humble ourselves, examine our hearts, and just be honest, Lord, if there's things in our lives that ought not to be there, that we would confess it, Lord, and repent of it, and seek, Lord, your help and your strength. And Lord, we know that you draw near us when we draw near you, so we pray that you would today. And through the day, God, we would just sense your presence. We would be thankful for being together, encouraged by one another. And Lord, as we have been and continue to observe your work in our hearts and in our midst, we just thank you for your love for us. You're so involved in our lives and in our ministry, Lord. So we praise you today. We thank you for Christ, for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we can know him. And Lord, that we have the confidence that when we leave this world, Father, we will be with him. We will be with you. So Lord, bless our time in your word this morning in our Sunday school. And in the morning service as we worship, and even this evening again as we worship tonight. That all day we would just, Father, be encouraged by your word and challenged. Lord, we pray for the children, and as they study today through Sunday school and through junior church, as they fellowship, as they hear your word taught, God, please bless the teachers, speakers, Lord, and bless those children, and may your truths be deeply planted within their hearts. So, Father, thank you for the time we get to spend today now. We ask for your help and your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 17 is where we're going to go, but just before I do, let me just summarize the different chapters. I've got it written down here this morning, make it a little easier so I can get a little quicker. And then I want to, as I said, pick your brains for a moment or two. But chapter 1 reminds us, or when we think of chapter 1, the vision of the risen Christ. John is commissioned to write the things that are, were, and will be hereafter. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, of course, are the chapters that deal with the seven different churches that existed in that day when John wrote the book of Revelation, and that represent not only those specific churches, but church in general and Christians in general. And so we can learn a lot from those two chapters. Chapter 4 and 5, the throne in heaven, the Lamb, and the scroll. And we get our first glimpse in Revelation of the throne room of God and the angels that worship around that throne. And Christ, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, stepping up before the throne. We see the seven spirits, the Holy Spirit, displayed in those seven unique characteristics. We see the Father on the throne, Christ before the throne, the Trinity in chapter 4 and chapter 5 as Jesus takes the scroll. Chapter 6, the seven seals are loosed. Chapter 7, the 144,000 and the great multitude that will be saved through their evangelism in the tribulation period. Chapter 8, the seventh seal and the trumpets that follow that seventh seal. Chapter 9, the fifth and sixth trumpets. Of course, I refer to that as those demonic hordes that are represented in that specific chapter. Chapter 10, the mighty angel and the little scroll. You remember that was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. And those seven thunders, we're always curious about what those seven thunders uttered. But God said, nope, don't write that down, John. Keep that to yourself. And whatever it is, God didn't want us to know what those seven thunders said, despite the fact that we can know so many other things. It's interesting. Chapter 11 were the two witnesses, the seventh trumpet also. Chapter 12, the woman, the dragon, and the Son of God, the baby there, which is Jesus Christ. Chapter 13, the beast from the sea and the beast from the earth, or the Antichrist and the false prophet. Chapter 14, the Lamb that's standing now in Zion with the 144,000 safe and sound. And again, the harvest, the 144,000, their efforts there. Chapter 15, the seven bowls of God's wrath. Remember the eight verses, the shortest chapter in Revelation. And then 15, we saw those. Chapters mixed up here. Chapter 15, we seen those. Those eight verses, chapter 16, the seven bowls of wrath are poured out, And we finished that last week with the great hail, the great earthquake, and Babylon is where we're headed to next in chapter 17. The fall of Babylon, both religious Babylon, the one world religion that we hear a lot about or that we observe being created or that we can sort of see forming in the world around us, that eclectic, ecumenical, your God is good, my God is good, we're all going to the same place. There's many ways to get there. That type of false religion will, I believe, take precedence in the tribulation period until ultimately the Antichrist says, now worship me. All of you, I'm going to be worshipped. And so we'll see that, and then also the economic Babylon, the way in which the world will survive financially, and the rich and the poor alike, and how they will function, and the greed and the lust of mankind, and all of those things will fall as well, chapter 17 and chapter 18. So that's where we are in the book of Revelation, and we're a few chapters away from the end. But before we get into 17 here today, I wanted to ask a couple of questions. First of all, I guess, I was discussing with somebody this week prophecy and the fact that though we're not going to experience the tribulation period. Now, I know that we have different opinions on that. There's some believers that believe we are going to be here for the tribulation period and some who believe we're going to be raptured away halfway through. I believe that we're going to head for a pre-tribulation rapture. because of what it says in Revelation chapter 3, God is going to keep us from the trials, from the temptation that will try the earth, a specific period of time. So I just believe that. I believe that we see it in Thessalonians and Corinthians. There's a rapture of the church. We're caught up, and we're going to be saved from the wrath to come, the Bible says. And it makes sense that the groom of the bride, before he sends his wrath upon the enemy, would get his bride out of the way. Okay, it's just the way that God, his characteristics, it's the way that I believe God works, and the Bible reveals these things. But as we consider that, what good is it then for us as raptured or pre-tribulation Christians to even talk about the book of Revelation? We're not going to experience these things that are coming. We're not going to endure these things, I believe. So is it profitable for us to study this book? And what are the reasons why? Okay, so yes, it's profitable. Okay, so we can warn others. And absolutely, I 100% agree. First of all Scripture is given for doctrine and reproof. All Scripture is profitable. It tells us that in Scripture. Timothy. But we have some information. Imagine if there was a war about to happen and we received information. I appreciated Mo. He did a little talk at the nursing home in regards to some of the ladies down in Albert County and their part in World War II and how they revealed. They came to know first, the women in this specific unit, not too far away, I guess just down in Coverdale, came to understand first that Hitler had been killed. And they got to reveal and release that information to the rest of the world. It was pretty neat to know that. But can you imagine knowing that a war was about to break out, having that information, and just choosing not to warn anybody, not to tell anybody? You just knew, but for whatever reason, you knew you were going to be safe, you were going to be removed from that war, and so you just didn't bother to tell anybody. Now, would we see that as being moral or immoral? It would be immoral. We would think that that's wrong. And the Bible does teach that. We were reminded on Friday morning at the men's breakfast, somebody referenced, I believe it's in Ezekiel, where the Lord challenges his people, and I believe all those who have faith in God, to warn the wicked so that their blood is not on our hands. God wants us. It's the right thing to do. God warns us. Even as he takes the church out of the world, he sends the 144,000 to warn the world. He sends the two witnesses to warn the world. He sends the angels to warn the world. And so that's exactly what we're doing. We're warning the world. And so that's one of the reasons. And I think it's a pretty valid one and an important one to consider, because as Christians, we have been enlisted in the army of God, and one of our tasks is to convert others, right? We want others to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved. And we see that sometimes in wars, right? When the enemy realizes they're not going to win, and so they wave the white flag, and they cross over, and they say, I want to join your side. And, you know, maybe the devil might call me a betrayer and a traitor, but that's okay. I'd rather betray the devil than the Lord God. And so we warn the world around us. This is one of the reasons why we study the book of Revelation, or why we study prophecy. It, not only does it add to our understanding of who God is, his hatred for sin and wrath, and that justice is coming, but also it provides us with information that we can share with the world around us. And when we see things that pique our interests, when we see the world really taking hands and grasping and linking up in a global way like never before, right? We've never been so global. I'm kind of getting preachy. I don't mean to be, but do you know what I mean? We've never experienced the linking and the closeness ever before in history that I know of. But in these days, we can be connected with somebody on the other side of the planet through a simple text in seconds. We can see what's happening anywhere we want to. I can go to Greece this morning on my cell phone, and I can find a live feed of a street somewhere and watch people walking by. It's interesting. So we can warn the world around us, and without stepping out of the confines of Scripture, we can say, you know, it's interesting. The world seems to be drawing near to these things that we're reading about. And so, yeah, warning people is, what's another reason? Maybe I already mentioned a few of them, but another reason why we should take the time to study prophecy in the book of Revelation.
Anyone still here will recognize what they've heard before.
Yeah, excellent point. That's right. So the people that we're yammering on to about this stuff, people that maybe don't know much, but it's like, you know, I worked with this Christian once, and she said something, or he said something about a one-world antichrist that we're all going to worship, and what that guy just said in the news sounds very similar to that. You know, I think there might be something going on. You know, the information that we give to people now isn't only, as you say, for that they might be saved and rescued and raptured away, but the Lord will use that in those early days of the tribulation period, those who maybe haven't rejected Christ and end up in that season of the tribulation. Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Just here, and I need to remember to repeat these questions because I realize those who are listening can't hear the questions out there. And to save me from forgetting to pass the mic around, I got to remember to repeat those questions. But in reference to, I'll summarize what you, Isaac, and Annette just said in reference to how we warn the world around us today, not only for the sake of those that might be saved even today and be raptured with the church to heaven and escape the tribulation period, but also the work that the 144,000 do and the two witnesses do and the work that God does during the tribulation period to see the multitude saved that will be. We just read about the multitudes that are going to be saved and those that will be converted during the tribulation period is we're laying the groundwork in some ways for that to happen. There are bits and pieces of things that we're doing. I know Christians that have got letters on their refrigerators. If I disappeared, please recognize, you know, that read the book of Revelation. The Antichrist is going to be here soon. And don't take the mark. And those sorts of things, right? So I have to imagine that the efforts that we put into evangelizing and teaching the world around us today will, in many ways, bear fruit even during the tribulation period. That isn't to say that those who have rejected Jesus Christ, full on out, said, I despise the gospel, I have nothing to do with it. The Bible says that they will be deceived because they love not the truth. But there will be many that haven't rejected the gospel, even heard the gospel yet, even in our own province. Do you realize that? Children that have no idea who Jesus is, have no clue what the Bible says. And those are some of the reasons why it's important to know prophecy and to understand it. Any other comments or thoughts?
I think it's also very encouraging. Because watching the Lord's return, when he says he's going to return, so this book, it just, as we watch the change in the world, and the news and all that, and I think, I was just reading in 16, chapter, or verse 15, it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments.
But, you know, so we're supposed to be blessed. That's right. Amen. Yes. Amen. As you say, the comment was another reason why we should study Scripture, including prophecy and the book of Revelation and different other books in the Bible, certainly the Old Testament, that teach these things that are coming is for encouragement. So we know God has allowed us to know. He said, Jesus Christ said, you're my friends. And because you're my friends, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is coming. I'm telling you what it looks like. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you how to be a part of it. I'm telling you all the things that you would want to know that's necessary. And it encourages us when we read these things and we realize, especially as we're about to get to chapter 21 and 22, and even in chapter 19, as we see our King, Who we yielded to, we bow to, we serve, we worship, we love, we adore, the one that blesses us immensely, who saved us from hell. We're going to see him in chapter 19 coming back from heaven to this earth. This is our Savior, our champion, our hero, our Christ, the hero that this world needs, and we're going to come with him. And so it is encouraging, as you say, to see these things that are about to unfold. The millennium, reigning with Christ, a new heaven, a new earth, no sorrow, no tears, no death, all of those things. So, amen, well said. And even in the beginning of the book of Revelation, it tells us, blessed are they who what? Read, hear, and keep. This will be a blessing for you for reading this specific book of the Lord God, the book of Revelation. And we know that that's important to bear in mind. There's a specific blessing for those that read this book. Any other thoughts or comments here this morning? You don't need to hurry. It's good to hear these things. And
I think the book is a little bit of a warning for, I guess, fence dwellers. God says, seek blood while it can be found, choose life. And he gives you a window into what's coming, which he can see. And now he's unfolding for us in his book. What do you want?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, there's just to your question or your comment, this book hopefully and should strike fear in those who are sitting on the fence. That was Joe's comment. And I agree. And it should. And it does. I can remember just from a little boy reading this and being intrigued by the book of Revelation and being fearful of some of these things. And, I would read about some of this stuff and then want to confirm my salvation. So am I saved? Let me double check that. I can remember as a child, as a young boy, I can remember being careful to confirm, okay, I'm trusting Christ as my Lord and Savior. What does the Bible say about salvation? Okay, that's what it says. It says, repent and believe the gospel. I know I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me and save me, and I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my only hope. He died for me, and that's salvation. And so these things should strike fear in us. Jude talks about some saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And as far as sitting on the fence goes, God is merciful. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. That's why these days haven't started yet. Because we're praying for our loved ones. Can you believe that? God is so gracious. He waits on us. He knows we have loved ones. He knows. He loves them too, more than we do. So as evil continues to grow, and it will grow until it is finally done, till it's filled. But in the meantime, God waits because he loves. And I'm thankful for that love. It's amazing. Any other thoughts or comments?
You talked about sharing at the beginning. And I reflect on there's a show called Living Waters with Cameron and
Ray Comfort. Right.
You think there's something happening to yourself? There's eternal life. You think there's a truck going to run somebody over? If I see somebody going to run, a truck's going to hit you, I'm going to pull you out of the way. How much do you have to hate somebody to not save them?
Yeah.
And he's an idiot.
Right. Wow. Well, we don't always think of it that way, of course. But the Bible says if the gospel be hid, it is hid from them who are lost. Okay? That makes sense logically. If the gospel is hid, it's only hid from those who are lost, right? They don't know it. They don't have it. They don't know about it because it's hid, and that's why they're lost. But who's hiding it? If the lost doesn't have it, they don't know about it. It's hid from them. It's hid from the lost. They're unaware of the salvation of Christ or the gospel. Who has it? Who is potentially hiding it? Right? So it's not a rebuke, but it is a reminder. Make sure. I have some hope. I have some truth. We sometimes are reluctant to share these things in scriptures because they're so out of this, normal way of thinking, right? We're talking about the rapture. Are you serious? God is going to just come down in the sky and rapture up a bunch of people and take them to heaven? I mean, that's so bizarre to hear those things and a dragon and the beast and, come on, you really believe these things and that Satan himself wants to be worshipped? And it sounds hard to believe to the world, except when you look at Scripture, there are just as equally supernatural things that happened And then as you look at the world around us, we live in a world where God puts rainbows in the sky. That's pretty remarkable. We don't realize that anymore because we're so accustomed to the world we live in, but salvation itself is a miracle. You become a new creature, born again in Christ of the Spirit of God. The moment you trust in Jesus Christ, that's a miracle. God saves us supernaturally. We go from dead in our sins, spiritually dead, to being alive. And so we sometimes overlook these things. We live in a world that believes in aliens. Okay? They don't believe that, you know, gender is a construct anymore that we have to adhere to. You can be whatever you want to be. Unicorn, cat, boy, girl, you name it. Logic, biology, doesn't matter. I think they can handle a few weird concepts from the Bible, is what I'm saying. I don't think it's too shocking anymore, but it should be. And the difference is these things are coming from God, and they are true, and they are real. So, yeah, we need to warn. And those who sit on the fence and say, well, I'll wait and see, well, they may very well wait too long. And ultimately, if you miss the boat, then you'll drown. Any other thoughts or comments? Yes, sir.
And not to share the gospel, to keep it for yourself, because you're scared that either someone might disapprove of you because you bring it out, but really that's God's work, he's going to take control of that. It's just our time to go and do what he gave us and make more with it, right?
Right.
So the one with 5 talents came back with 10.
Isaac mentioned the parable of the talents, the servants, those who were faithful and the wicked servant who wasn't. And he brings up a good point, because God provides us with the knowledge, the information, and the skills, the gifts to share not our ideas and our desires, but his ideas, his truths, his will. That's the whole point of it. That's why he left me here and leaves us here, is to perpetuate truth of God, the love of God, the light of God into the world. We're reflecting those things. That's the greatest purpose of any human being, Revelation 4:12. We are created for his pleasure. And the greatest purpose that any human could ever fulfill or come to is to please God with his life. And, you know, we sort of say, well, that doesn't sound very pleasing to me. Well, that's the point. It doesn't please you, that's why you're not interested. But that's what the Bible says, and that's the only place you will find real satisfaction and real purpose is in the service of God. So we don't hide our talents, we don't hide the truth, we don't hide our gifts, we allow God to use us and all of our resources. And it's hard to do that sometimes, but one of the things that we don't maybe get into a lot, because it sounds a little bit self-serving, but you know, the Bible does talk a lot about rewards. And it's not a concept biblically that God is, you know, opposed to. It's not like God's like, okay, yeah, you're going to get rewards, but I don't want you talking about it all the time. I don't want you focused on rewards. I don't want you serving me just for the rewards. You know, the Bible says Christ is our what? Reward. I am absolutely serving God for the reward. That's about all I can bring to the table. It's the joy and the blessing that he's going to allow me to be a part of someday. Now, he has gifted me and enables me and strengthens me to do the things that I do for him, for his glory that please him. I can't do it of myself anyway. But the reward is going to be a way in which we can honor God in the eternity that's coming. The Bible says that those who are faithful over a few things, he will what? Make them ruler over many things. That's a reference to the millennium. In other words, right now, we're in kind of the preliminaries of our service to the Lord. This is where things are sort of being sorted out. And we don't talk about this a lot, and I understand this because our nature is sinful, and we sort of want to, you know, can I sit on the right hand of Christ? You know, can I have that throne? That's what we're like, right? We want to have the best seat in the house. So we do have to be careful, but at the same time, the fact that our rewards, think about those elders that threw their crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the throne of God there. What a privilege. I want one. to cast. That's the point of it. And so not hiding our talents, not being ashamed of the gospel, but loving Christ that much, not for the reward of gold and silver, material things or titles, but for the reward of demonstrating your love and having something to give to the Lord. Say, I loved you. Not really that great and not perfectly and not as much as I should have, but, you know, I got something and it's real. Thank you. And so reward is important, and we want to share the whole counsel of God's Word, not just the parts that are easily digestible. Sometimes we need to choke on the Word. It gets our attention, right? Sometimes we have to look at the hard truth. The facts of Scripture sometimes are hard. And so we have to be faithful with that. Good comments this morning. Any other thoughts, or in regards to Revelation? The reasons why we read not just this book, but why we study prophecy, things that are difficult and futuristic, include everything that we talked about here this morning and many other things. But as Christians in a personal way, how does it affect our lives individually? Maybe in some of the same ways we talked about, but how is it affected, or does it affect your life or my life as Christians? When we study this book, what does it do for us? Any comments on I don't know if I'm being clear, or but
2 Timothy 2:15 says study to show yourself approved. So In basics, it's we study Revelation or any other book just to show ourselves approved.
Right.
So that we're workmen that need us not to be ashamed.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
And then in chapter 4, like it just preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So there's doctrine in Revelation.
Right.
That
yeah.
We need to know in order to rebuke, you know, things that come up that aren't doctrine.
Amen. Amen. So just to summarize your comment, we study the whole Word of God because that's what we're commanded to do. Study to show thyself approved unto God, because God has commanded us. Study the book. Understand it. But the reason, and God gives us the reason too, is so that we can rightly divide the Word of God and understand what we are applying to our lives and what we're not to, and understand what God is saying. And we want to be aware of what the Scriptures teach. So, yeah, we're commanded to study the Word of God so that we can rightly devise, so that we can understand it. That's a wonderful point. And yeah, that's right. Amen. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And there's the idea of not being ashamed, too, when somebody challenges me with something from the Bible that I don't know. You know, what do I want to do? I want to know now. I want to make sure. Somebody says something and they say, well, that's in the Bible, and I didn't know that. I said, well, is it? I want to make sure that it is, and that if I didn't know, I want to know now. So we just want to make sure that we're aware of, we don't have to be theologians, don't get me wrong, or experts. But as we continuously look into the Scriptures, listen to the preaching of God's Word, we become informed, and the Lord uses that information to instruct us, to guide us, to teach us, and in return, we teach others. We share these truths with those around us. So, anyway, great thoughts, and any other comments on anything at all here this morning? I guess that's kind of what I was getting at. The personal aspect of the book of Revelation is all of the things that we've mentioned, the fear, the encouragement, warning others around us, but also the idea that it's something that God wants me to know. And I might not understand it, but if God wants me to know it, then I want to know what it is. And let him do with the information, let him teach me and lead and guide me to understand it in his time. But God included it in his book for a reason, so it's important. Yes?
Why do you think God told John some information that he did not want him to write down? What would be the purpose?
So that's an interesting question. So in Revelation chapter 10, there were the seven thunders I mentioned earlier. And John was instructed not to write down. He heard what they uttered, and he was about to write. So he heard it, and he understood whatever these thunders uttered. And he was going to write it, and then he was told, nope, don't write that down. So the only, I mean, it's always speculation, because the Bible doesn't say, so we can only speculate as to the reasons why. And the easy answer is God didn't want us to know, but there's no satisfaction in that. God didn't want us to know. But what my mind tends to go to is that whatever these thunders utter, however their part unfolds in the tribulation period, I don't know how to say this. We can't hinder God's will, but because of God's perfect will, we can't know that now. If we knew it now, then God's will wouldn't be perfect the way that it is. I don't know if that... Right. Well, he...
Not that I think you know the answer,
right.
I just find it very strange.
Yeah, it was... I don't know if it was just because it was part of the scene that was unfolding. I don't know. But it is interesting that John was aware of it.
Yes.
And he was told to keep it to himself. John was in prison on the island all by himself. His friends and brothers and sisters in Christ either murdered or gone or separated from him. And maybe there was something in that was just for him. I don't know. But... Yeah, it's just interesting. Say that again, sorry. Yeah, yeah, that's right. So and I mentioned that sometimes there were times in the Gospels when Jesus Christ healed people and he said, no, don't tell anybody. Don't broadcast that. It's a little confusing when we hear him say that, so why not? Well, it's because of the timing. It's like, God was in control of the timing of all of that. And often the people he healed went and did it anyway. but it was because of the level of heat that Christ was going to experience. The timing of that was God's timing, and it was according to his will. So Christ was like, you know, don't broadcast this out. I want to minister in this area. Too many people get excited or angry, then it'll limit my ministry or my time. But it was according to God's will. But good point. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, Paul was caught up to the third heaven, and he wasn't allowed to talk about those things.
Sorry, maybe it's because Satan, he knows this Bible, inward, inside out, and backwards and upside down.
Sure, yeah.
He showed us that when he tried to tempt Jesus. So maybe it's something, and Satan's character is one that he wants to imitate God.
Yep.
To see that, where he's doing these miracles and things to deceive the nations, that he's actually God. So maybe God's not revealing that because he doesn't want Satan to try and imitate those things.
Right.
Maybe so that, like we've talked about, people who are in the tribulation can recognize, oh, well, this is here.
Right.
This is happening. So
right. Yeah, exactly. Well put. That's what I was trying to say earlier in regards to God's will. There are things that maybe are uttered there that would be detrimental, but not really because God is perfect and you can't hinder God. But you know what I mean? It's not. So anyway, to your point, Robert. Yeah, well said. Better said than me. Right. Keep that to yourself. Yeah, exactly. Yep, yep.
Making more and
Right. Well, that's a good question, but I don't know. I wouldn't know the answer to that. God does what he does. But there is one verse, I quoted half of it earlier, I'll share it again. It's Revelation 4:11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So why does God allow the generations to continue to come and be born, knowing that many will be lost? Because many won't be. And because he deserves glory and praise, and because he is the God of creation. And this is part of his plan, and though we don't understand it all, we know it's perfect. And so, yeah, good question.
What is the verse?
It's Revelation 4, chapter 11. Yeah. So we're gonna finish up here this morning. We're just about out of time, but Revelation chapter 17 is where we'll begin. And here's what we can do, just because we didn't get a chance to get into it this morning, and that's okay. But let me read just verse 1, because it's interesting to see what it says here. "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials." So one of these angels that pour out the vials of judgment during the tribulation period here in Revelation 16, or 17, verse 1, it says, "One of the seven angels which had the seven vials talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." So it's just interesting now that as the angels finish pouring out these vials of judgment, when this takes place in the days ahead, he then, one of the angels, says to John, "Come here, and I'm going to show you specifically what the judgment against the whore of Babylon looks like." And so chapter 17 and chapter 18 sort of reveals that judgment and what that judgment looks like. So anyway, read ahead if you want, chapter 17. And when we think about that phrase, the whore of Babylon, it's a pretty descriptive phrase, a little frank when you consider it. But this is the Word of God revealing to us the difference between the faithful bride of Christ, the true church, and the harlot, the adulterous, false religion of this world, or religions of this world. One is apostate, one is a whore, one is a harlot. One leads people away from God. One is what causes people to be unfaithful to God. And God likens it unto a relationship. And so she is likened that way for that reason. And we'll get into more of that, chapter 17, chapter 18. The comments this morning, it's good to do that from time to time. Just if anybody's got any questions or thoughts they want to share, it gives us a chance to do that. So let's close in prayer. Father, we do thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for the comments, for the questions, for the opportunity just to discuss your word. And Father, these things that are about to happen, Lord, in this world, Lord, we know in your time, and we're not so concerned with these events that we are being unfaithful with our calling, with our commission. We are aware of these things because they are in Scripture and we love Scripture. We study these things because your word tells us to study to show ourselves approved. We share these things because your word also tells us to warn those around us. So, Lord, we are doing our best to be faithful to these commands and these truths in your word. But, Father, help us to be faithful with the gospel, that as we share the warnings of these things to come with the world around us, we would share the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, that he died for us, that there is hope in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that hope. We thank you for the light, and that we get to bear it and share it with the world around us. Bless our worship this morning as we gather together in a few minutes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, church.